On a hill far away, far, far away. Amen. Well, so glad to be here tonight. What a blessing to be able to rub shoulders with these precious missionaries. And what a blessing it is, really. I mean, I hope that you're just getting some of the things that, just some of the kind of nuggets that are falling as they speak to us and introduce them, their ministries to us. And it always goes back to the heart. Always goes back what God put in my heart. I think I'm going to be preaching on that theme on Sunday morning. And you know, everything about the Christian life is, it's all about heart.
That's right.
Now, for years I played football when I was a kid, and I've been a part of a football camp for many years now. And we're always looking for boys that'll put their heart. That's what we say. Come on, son, put your heart in the game. You're giving it a half-hearted effort. Put your heart in the game. Well, you know, everything about the Christian life is about heart.
That's right.
You can't even get saved. He said if thou shalt believe with thine heart that God is raised. It's all about heart. And then he says, pray from your heart. And serve from your heart. And sing from your heart. And boy, when we have these missionaries, God brings them to us to really just show a very, very, a very surrendered heart. This is what God has put on my heart to do. And then we have the privilege to maybe partner up, and what a blessing it is. A great theme, lift a look on the fields for their white, all ready to harvest. It is really a spiritual exercise. Amen. Really is. What a blessing. Well, if you have your Bibles tonight, look with me to the book of Matthew. And we're going to look at the 11th chapter, Matthew chapter number 11. And tonight I want to preach a message that I've entitled, In the Yoke with Jesus. Matthew chapter number 11, and we're going to begin reading. Oh, let's see here. We're going to pick it up in verse number 25. Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 25. Thank you to all the folks that have been providing the meals for us. Good night. They've been so good in the fellowship. Amen. And all of that. Now, I was involved in an accident about 2 months ago, so I cannot be on the golfing outing. I get these guys are probably very happy because I'd take it. I'm just kidding, all right? I don't think I've ever golfed with the same set of clubs. I love to do it. Amen. I love to do it, but I said to my boys growing up, I'd rather buy guns than clubs. Amen? And so that was just kind of the way it was around our house, but it is a fun game. It's kind of like, you know, it's one of those muscle memory. It's like archery. You know, golfing's kind of the same way, like fly fishing. So I like it. Sorry I can't be involved in it, but I don't know if I want to be hobbling around a golf course in this cast. And good Lord willing, I'll be out of it next Wednesday. It's going to be it. I'm throwing it in a creek that goes beside my house. Amen. And send it down the river. I'm so thankful, though, that really I could have been, the injuries could have been so much worse than they were. And the Lord just oversaw us, and thank God for it. And God has been very good to us. Amen. Well, Matthew chapter number 11, if you're able to stand with me, let's all stand together for the reading of the scriptures. Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 25. The Bible says, And at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, but no man knoweth the Son, but the Father knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Now look at the invitation in verse number 18. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Boy, isn't that wonderful? How precious, coming from the lips of our Savior. And then notice verse number 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In the yoke with Jesus, let's pray together, shall we? Father, we come tonight so thankful and grateful for your abundant blessings upon us. Lord, if we're looking forward or backward, upward, downward, left or right, we just see the blessings of God everywhere that we look. Thank you. Thank you for assembling us here together tonight. Thank you for these precious missionary families. They're just such a blessing to know, to hear their stories, how you worked in their hearts. And would you just bless tonight as we look at this passage here in Matthew chapter 11. And Lord, I would pray that you would work in our hearts, that the Holy Ghost of God would work and the grace of God would be real to us. And that we would find a way, a biblical way, to get in the yoke with your precious Son, our Savior. Save the lost, reclaim the backslider. All of us need our faith to be strengthened. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Thank you so much for standing with me. You know, there are some personal things to learn about Jesus when you get in the yoke with him. Now just think about what the Lord has said here. He said, take my yoke upon you. But he doesn't just stop there. He says this, and learn of me. So really, Jesus is saying, I want you to get in the yoke with me because I want to do some personal discipleship with you. You need to learn of me. And this is his personal invitation to each and every one of us. Now, what is a yoke? A yoke in its simplest form are two pieces of wood, thick timber, that's carved on the top and the bottom. And they sit very evenly on the neck and the top of the shoulders of an animal, two places where two animals can get in that. And what they're doing, when you get two animals in a yoke, then they are pulling the same load. Now, if you get that image in your mind, that's what a yoke is designed to do. They're pulling the same load. All right? And Jesus says, get in the yoke with me. And in Bible times, it was a custom farming tool, and it's still used in a lot of communities today. We don't live too far from Amish communities, and you can see where they'll team up animals, and they will use animals even today. And they'll yoke them up, and plow a field, or pull a wagon. So it's not something, you know, even though it is an antique instrument, but it's not out of use. It's still being used today. And he says, the Lord says, take my yoke upon you. Now his listeners immediately saw and understood the picture. Now when you think about it, the concept of this image here, this picture that we're looking at, it's very close, it's up close and personal. When you yoke up with somebody, when Jesus is talking about yoking up, I mean, you're talking about you're in close proximity. I mean, when you're yoked up together, I mean, you're just about hearing what the other person is thinking. I mean, you are close. Amen. Now, for context's sake, look back at verse number 25, and let's kind of lay some groundwork down here. He says, and at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Now, twice it is said in the text that Jesus answered. So what were the questions? Well, verse number 3, the first came from John the Baptist to the disciples about Jesus. And remember, Jesus brings up John the Baptist. Why? Maybe to see their response to him and his message. You see, the gospel is never going to be without controversy. All right? Biblical Christianity is always swimming upstream. Biblical Christianity is never, ever the popular thing. It's always going against the grain. And mankind is filthy and fallen, and mankind needs reconciliation. They need saving. They need forgiveness. So when you refer to the ministry of John the Baptist, Jesus said this, but wisdom is justified of her children. Now what that means is the fruit that comes about John the Baptist's ministry is going to condemn his ministry
or justify his ministry. And the need for forgiveness that John the Baptist preached insinuates that somebody is wrong. And Jesus brings up the cities of Chorazin and Bethsaida in the verses before this, verse number 20, and he upbraids these cities because they rejected a greater concentration of the gospel message. So Jesus is saying to the wise of this world, you're too worldly minded to believe something as simple as, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You're too carnal to believe that. Saved from what? And then the second question was from Jesus about John the Baptist to the multitudes in verse number 7. And Jesus says to them, what did you go out to the wilderness to see? And he mentioned that three times. You see, John the Baptist was his minister. And what Jesus is saying to them, you have a problem with my messenger because you have a problem with his message. And the latter part of verse number 25 is sorting out the people who receive the message of the gospel and those who reject it. The Bible says, hid them from the wise and prudent of this world. It's talking about the condition of their heart. The babe, it represents those of a receptive spirit. They're trusting, they're open to impression, they're free from prejudice. Wisdom and prudence is like wealth and power. And it is an obstruction, not in itself, but in the temper, in the frame of mind that it puts people in. These both are apt to produce self-gratification. Man, if you're going to come to Christ, you're going to have to humble yourselves. Yes. And he says he revealed them unto babes. They believed the words of the Father, once again speaking of the condition of the heart. Listen to this verse with those things in mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The wise of this world, they are too worldly minded to believe something as simple as Jesus tasted death for every man. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. The prudent are prudes toward their own shortcomings, their own shortfalling, their lack of faith. And the wise and prudent of this world, they stumble at the simplicity of the gospel. So Jesus is saying to them, I want to bring it down to you in a very simple terms. He says, even so, Father, for so which seemed good in thy sight. He does all things good. Yes. Someone said it like this: the unfoldings of eternity will solve the problems of this world and justify God in his moral government. I like that statement. Now listen to what he says in verse number 28 once again. The Lord is, it's his gracious invitation. He says, come unto me all ye that labor. Those are people that are working, hard working people. Amen. Come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You're loaded down with care. Oh listen, there are people that are so loaded down with care. I remember a while ago I was catching up some news on my X account, and I saw a post that Elon Musk put out, and I took a screenshot of it. Elon Musk, the richest man in the world, said, whoever said money can't buy happiness really knew what he was talking about. That's what he said. Yes, sir. You see, he says, come all ye that labor and are heavy laden. It's talking about hardworking people. Talking about people that are burdened down with care. We just think that people that have, you know, everything that they need and want, they have it made. But it's not the truth. That's why Jesus gives the invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And he's given that invitation and he says, and I will give you rest. Amen. The idea of labor and toil, it refers to what we may call the active side of life. What we do or attempt to do, we fall short. And then the term heavy laden refers to the passive side, to that which we bear or we endure. Oh, you see, it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of works or a lot of lying to yourself to try to convince yourself that your labor has gained you a standing with God. Amen. Listen, our labor, our works are not going to create a standing with God. Amen. Listen, verse number 29, he gives the appeal, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He says, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Do you know that most people don't really believe that about Christianity? They don't believe that about biblical Christianity. They don't believe that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. For the most part, people think that Christianity is a burden and you have to change so much and that you have to think, but you don't understand biblical Christianity because it starts from the inside out. As a matter of fact, it's harder and it's harder on a person when you don't accept it. The principles of the Christian life, they may be difficult when you compare them to the flesh. But in all reality, listen, you come to the end of the day and your heart, it's easy. Your conscience, it's not stained. You're not trying to cover up anything. Jesus says, come, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So why should they embrace this doctrine? You know, Jesus was not harsh, not with the common men. Jesus was not overbearing. He was not oppressive like the Pharisees were. As a matter of fact, when you study the life of Jesus, he was very meek and he was very mild. You see, when you're the sovereign God, you have no need to show off. When you know the end from the beginning, when you know everything, why do you have to be concerned about showing off? That's why he was so humble and so meek, amen, and so gentle in his government. His laws were reasonable, and his laws were tender, and it would be very easy to obey him, amen. The Bible says, Jesus says, I am meek and lowly. You know what it means to be lowly? It's something that me and you will never know. It means to be free from pride. Can you imagine? That's how wonderful our Savior is. Yes, praise God, he is free from pride. Amen. That's why he says, come unto me, all ye that work are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I'm meek and lowly. Come and learn of me. Because he doesn't have to deal with pride. He's the sovereign God. He knows the end from the beginning. Amen. He doesn't have to pretend about anything. And he is the one that is giving us this invitation to come and yoke up with me. So what does it mean? What does this mean in context? Is there an application for us? His words, take my yoke upon you. They're wonderful, but yet they're strange to this world. But those who have, they know. His words are wonderful words. Amen. They're wonderful words of life because they are the way of truth, amen. They are the way of transformation. They are precious. They are a precious visitation from above. Amen. He says that my kingdom is not meat nor drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. He says, come and take my yoke upon you. He is, listen, his words are the essence of truth. Jesus is not offering an opinion. Jesus never, ever uttered an opinion. He never uttered any kind of suggestion. Everything that Jesus ever said was truth. Amen. And that's the one that says, come unto me. Come. Get in the yoke with me. That's the invitation that Jesus is giving to every single one of us tonight. Don't you want to get in the yoke with Jesus? He says, come, my yoke is easy and my burden's light. Jesus calls it my yoke because he walks at one end while we walk at the other. Sounds to me like that's a pretty good deal.
Yes, sir.
To get in a yoke with Jesus on one end and me on the other, Woo! Man, I tell you what, that'll work for me, praise God. You see, when we yoke up with Jesus, the yoke is easy and the burden is light because we learn of Him, we learn about Him. Number one, what we learn is this, the direction is delightful. The direction that we go when we're in the yoke with Jesus is it's holy and it's happy. You know, the word blessed, it just really means very something as simple as happy, spiritually prosperous. It means to be deeply, deeply satisfied. And you see, according to the scriptures, the holy man separates from sin and delights in God's word. And according to the scriptures, that is called blessed. Now, I want you to think of the contrast. Sin, it brings guilt. Sin, it brings fear. Sin, it brings unrest. Sin, it brings regret. But holiness, it brings peace. And it brings confidence. And it brings joy. And it brings God's favor.
That's right.
So therefore, holiness produces true happiness. To men and women everywhere, Jesus says, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. And the rest that he offers is the rest of meekness, the blessed relief which comes when we accept ourselves for what we are and cease to pretend. He knows. Why? We don't even have to pretend, amen. Jesus knows. You see, this holy, this direction, this delightful direction, this holiness, it produces a clear conscience. Holiness produces a person under God's favor. The Bible says it like this in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. You see, sin produces fear and unrest, but holiness produces confidence and peace. A clean heart brings inward rest. The truth is that holiness liberates. Holiness removes the misery of sin, and it removes the misery of sin's burden. I have a friend of mine that pastors a church in Bourbonnais, Illinois. I preached for him many times, pretty good sized church. In Bourbonnais, Illinois, if anybody knows anything about Bourbonnais, Illinois, there's a big Nazarene university there in Bourbonnais, big one. It's one of their big schools. And if you know anything about the Nazarene, we used to call them holiness people. You remember when people would use that term referring to those? They're holiness people. Well, one day, Brother Angel told me the story about this, about one of the leaders, an older man, that was a part of that Olivet University, that Nazarene College, started visiting his church. And he said he visited several weeks in a row. And he said he would just observe. He said, I remember watching him. He would come in and he would look at my people. And his church is a very lively church. Got a lot of kids, got a big, big, beautiful choir, beautiful building, and just real active. And just a delight to go to. And he would just sit back. This old Nazarene preacher would sit back and just kind of watch. And then after a month or two of that, he bumped into the pastor. And he said to the pastor, he said, "A preacher," he said, "I've been visiting your church." And he said, "Your people here, they're happy. And they sing. And they enjoy each other's fellowship. And I've been wondering why. What's the difference? What is it about this church?" And then he says, and it hit me tonight. He said, "This is a happy church because this is a holy church."
Amen.
And when you get in the yoke with Jesus,
yes,
the direction is delightful because holiness,
yes,
brings happiness.
Amen.
I promise you, when this wicked world, it brings Christ down to human level, it's not the same. You're not being good to people when you do that. You see, what Jesus does, he brings us up to him.
He brings us up.
Glory to God.
And His way, and it's going to be no other way but holy when you yoke up with Jesus. You're not going to yoke up in an unholy yoke. You understand what I'm saying to you? In Psalm 32, verse 3 through 5, David vividly describes the agonizing memory while he was hiding his sin. While he kept silence, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. And it's no different with us and David. We're the same way. But you see, confession, amen, it brought relief and joy. You're returning to holiness, amen. He said, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. You get in the yoke with Jesus, and praise God, there's rest. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. In the yoke with Jesus. Number one, the direction is a delight. Number two, the pace is perfect. The pace is perfect. You know, the Christian life is an it is an endurance race. It's not a sprint. It's an endurance. Paul stated it this way, chapter 20, verse 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. What we have to be careful about is that we don't get ahead of God. That we walk with the one who sets the pace. And if you're going to get in the yoke with Jesus, it is going to be a perfect pace. You don't get ahead of God. Do you know that sometimes, listen, doing the right thing at the wrong time is like doing the wrong thing?
Yes.
When you get in the yoke with Jesus, the pace is perfect. Now, when I look at my life and I see how my life developed, I'm just too dumb to do anything else. I can't figure it out myself. I'm going to have to trust the Lord. I started riding a Sunday school bus to the Open Door Baptist Church when I was about 9 years old. I had no idea that when I walked on that Sunday school bus and started learning about the Lord, what God was going to do in my life. I made a decision when I was probably about 9 or 10 years old. I don't really know if I truly got born again, but I thank the Lord for that experience, whatever happened, because I believe that kept me very close to the people of God. Amen. Without that, I might have wandered, but I never strayed far from the Lord. Then I came under very heavy conviction about my need of salvation. And at the age of 15, I got my salvation nailed down. And shortly after that, God called me to preach. I started traveling with an evangelist by the name of Joe Boyd. He led my dad to the Lord. And I traveled for 8 summers. When I look back at myself and I see everything that did, I have the privilege to have a radio ministry. Just the very fact, the way that started, it just literally blows my mind. It's the pace that God laid out for me. I remember on a plane going to South Texas to preach a revival meeting for one of the greatest men of faith I ever met, Brother Robert Ramirez, who's my wife's youth pastor in Pontiac, Michigan. Started a bilingual church down in West Laco. And I was headed down to that meeting there. I was, took a very early morning flight. It was still dark. When we got to cruising altitude, the cabin lights went out. And I was looking out the windows of those planes there, and I was seeing these clumps of lights. And I know they represented communities, towns. And I was glad that the lights were out, because I looked out that airplane window and I could see those lights. I didn't know what town it was. But I said, Lord, I don't know if there's anybody passing out tracts in that town. I don't know if there's a church in that town. I don't know if anybody's running a bus and picking up kids. I don't know if anybody's preaching on the streets. I don't know what's going on. But Lord, if you want me to go to that town, I'll do it. Boy, tears are just streaming down my cheeks. And during that moment, a thought came to my mind. Well, you know, you may not be able to preach there, but you might could preach on the radio. I never remember ever thinking about it ever before. Never. So I said, well, I can do that. I didn't go to broadcasting school. I went to preacher school, but I'm sure I can do it. So I started looking up some places in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and most of the people, they could tell I didn't have any experience. And I called a radio station, 770 KPBC. The station manager was a lady by the name of Theta Holmes. She passed away during the COVID years. I tried to get to her to tell her what God had done in my life. And I told Theta that I was a preacher, and I felt like I wanted to try to do my part to reach the masses of people. And she said, well, we have a 15-minute spot at 10 o'clock on Sunday night that I'll give you for about like $53 a week, over a little over $200 a month. That was a lot of money. That was a lot of money to me. But I said, I think the Lord wants me to do it. So I did it. Now, after a while, they put those disclaimers before I preached, after I preached. I thought they were going to try to tell me to split the track, put one in the middle of it. Amen. But I remember I was making an offer, and I had like two calls for my offer during on a Sunday night at 10 o'clock. I mean, that means that a whole lot of people heard that message. And now these years later, that was like 30 years ago, what God's allowed me to do. You see, what I'm telling you is this. When you get in the yoke, and I am not trying to set myself up as an example. I'm just trying to testify how good God is. That's all I'm trying to say. When you get in the yoke with Jesus, the pace is perfect. You're going to learn everything you need. These missionaries will tell you, you're learning so much about the ministry, so much about church work as you go to different churches. As you meet people, as you do, you see, you learn. There's a whole lot of learning in all of that. You see, when you get in the yoke with Jesus, I mean, the pace is perfect, but don't get ahead of God. And then, of course, don't pull against God. Amen. Don't yoke up with Jesus. Don't pull against Him. Don't ride on His own labor alone. Amen. You have a part to do. Amen. He knows how much we can bear. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 13, there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But if God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. I remember two times I can remember men bringing this up to me. And they said to me, Brother Oliver, God says that He's not going to put too much on you that you cannot bear. And they said, they both said to me, I'm about there. I don't know how much I can take. So I said, well, I got to stop you here for just a minute, because let God be true, but every man a liar. I said, there are decisions that you can make that bring about consequences. Now, those consequences you may feel are more than you can bear, but don't blame that on God. God promised that when temptation comes your way, He is going to make a way to escape it. But in another passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, this is what the Apostle Paul teaches us through the inspiration of Scriptures. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure. So the truth is, you can handle more. He says, we were pressed out of measure, look at it, above strength, in so much that we despaired even of life. I promise you, listen, with God's help, you can take a whole lot. But don't mix up that with the consequences of stupid decisions, of foolishness. Amen. What I'm trying to say is, when you get in the yoke with Jesus, the pace is perfect. Amen. The pace is perfect. We're laborers together with Him. He knows if we're doing our part. He knows if we're accepting our duties. He knows if we're taking steps of faith. He knows if we're growing in spiritual strength. Amen.
Listen, you are not laboring aimlessly. God has a purpose in the pace. Surrender to the pace of the one who owns the yoke. Amen. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. Isaiah chapter 32 and verse number 17. And then lastly, number one, when you get in the yoke with Jesus, you learn of me. You learn that the direction is a delight and the pace is perfect. And then lastly, the finish is fulfilling. 2 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 says this, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So we're talking about abounding in the work of the Lord. Now think about the word abounding. Think about the word superabound, abounding. The Bible, when I read about this passage here, my mind goes back to Genesis in chapter number 43 with Joseph and his brothers. And remember, they've gone back to Egypt, and finally he's got Benjamin with him, and they're sitting at the table, and all of a sudden, man, these Egyptians, they start loading up Benjamin's plate. And I mean, man, it's just like puffing, you know, just like stacked up, and they're wondering, what in the world's going on? I mean, his plate is super abound. Well, that's the way God does each and every one of us. Amen. I mean, we're abounding. That's super abounding in the work of God. Amen. So here's what we do. We're to abound, super abounding. We're laboring in prayer. Amen. We abound in this, being fruitful in every good work. We're laboring in planting, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. We're laboring in pleasing, fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. We're laboring with partners, amen. Hebrews 10 and verse number 26. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Praise the Lord God, amen. Why? Knowing this labor is eternal in its scope. And that's what, when you lift your eyes up and you look on the fields, it is eternal in its scope. It's getting your eyes off the temporal, and it's getting your eyes on the eternal. It's helping you see it's about souls. It's about men, women, teenagers, boys and girls. It's about souls. Amen. It's about people groups around the world. That's what it's saying. And he is giving us a chance to enjoy the finish. Now, there are going to be a lot of people in our churches, they're not going to enjoy the finish because they didn't get involved in the labor. They just watched. They just looked at everybody else. But those that enter into the labor, praise the Lord, glory to God. It changes, amen. This labor that I'm talking about, amen, it's real. As a matter of fact, it is so real that you are going to see it again. Amen, the labor that we're talking about. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are seen are not seen are eternal. You know, I'm preaching from behind this pulpit. It's a beautiful pulpit. Amen. It's beautiful. That one day, at one time, this pulpit was just nothing but trees in the hill somewhere. Amen. Maybe right here in West Virginia. Hardwood pulpit. Amen. Don't beat this one too hard. You're going to have sore knuckles. Amen. Good, solid wood pulpit. But some lumberjack went up in the woods and cut a tree down. And they skidded it out, took it to a lumber mill, and they cut it up into planks. And then a cabinet maker or a carpenter put this beautiful pulpit together. You see, you can see it. You can touch it. Amen. Come on here and bang on it. You'll see it's a solid one. But one of these days, this pulpit will burn up, like everything in this building. But look at me now. What's been preached and taught from behind this pulpit, from the Word of God, is eternal. Glory.
You see, when you yoke up with Jesus, when you get involved in the harvest, when you yoke up with Jesus, the finish, it's fulfilling. Amen. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 5:1, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, not an house, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." There are many things that you can labor in that are empty. Amen. Listen, they're empty, but always keep eternity in mind. Amen. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:22, "The blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." Amen. Oh, listen, when you yoke up with Jesus, amen, the finish is fulfilling, amen. It doesn't leave a bitter taste in your mouth. The Lord is giving you a personal invitation to yoke up with him. Amen. Get in the yoke with Jesus and win souls. Get in the yoke with Jesus and pass out tracts. Get in the yoke with Jesus and partner up with Mission Works. Get in the yoke with Jesus and give. Get in the yoke with Jesus and give him your heart. That's where the blessing is, in the yoke with Jesus. The Lord is giving me and you a personal invitation to yoke up with him. And he says, the world doesn't believe this, but it's true. He says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." The world's yoke, it's not easy. The way of the transgressors is hard. His is not easy and his burden is light. It's heavy. It's heavy. Get in the yoke with Jesus. And when you do, you learn from him and you lean on him and you let him lead and you link up with his will and you live by his strength. And that's what this week is about, yoking up with Jesus. When you do, the direction is delightful. The pace is perfect. He's not going to put more on you than you can handle. He knows everything about you. And the finish, it's fulfilling. We sent out a packet of discipleships at the end of last year, put it on the airwaves for people to engage in this discipleship course. And off the airwaves, people that I, you know, most of them I don't know, I had 16 people sign up, say, "I want to be a part of your discipleship." Well, I got one back from the federal prison in Glenville today. My wife opened it up, showed it to me. I said, "Well, praise God."
Yes, sir. Glory to God.
You see, the finish is fulfilling. And that's all we want for you. Get in the yoke with Jesus. Now, you know what I have learned in these 40 plus years of full-time evangelism? The preacher will preach a message, and then the Holy Ghost of God will preach another one.
Yes,
silently, right straight to you.
Yes.
And I mean, there are things that he touched on tonight I didn't even mention. But boy, he said that to you, and he said this to you. Will you yoke up with him tonight? How many of you heard? Did you hear what the Lord spoke to your heart about tonight? Would you raise your hind leg? Raise your hand. Amen. Praise God. He's got a message for us. And Jesus says, get in the yoke with me. And people are like, "Oh, that's hard to live that Christian life." The way of the transgressors is hard. His yoke is easy. And his burden's light. We don't have to worry about hangovers and stuff like that. Amen. Praise God. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Get in the yoke with Jesus. How many of you could say, "Brother Oliver, I'm saved and I know I'm saved. Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. Hold your hand up as a testimony. Would you wave it to Jesus? Let's give him a wave offering tonight. Praise God. Amen. Isn't it wonderful to be saved? Good night. You know, you could have a personal revival every day of your life by just running to the day of your salvation and reliving it. Praise God. How many say, preacher, not only have I been saved, but I've been baptized in deep water after I got saved. Hold up your hand. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's wonderful. Now get in the yoke with Jesus. Now I know many of you are, but maybe in some areas of our life, we wandered. Let's get back in. Amen. Let's stand together, shall we, with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder tonight, would there be one or more here, preachers, that would say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not even a Christian. I'm not even saved. If something tragic, now God forbid, but something tragic happened to you, you have no idea where you'd spend eternity. But God brought you here tonight so you can learn about Jesus and be saved. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Say, Brother Oliver, pray for me. I don't want to go to hell when I die. I need to be saved and I want to be saved. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand up right now? Anybody like that? I need to be saved. Anybody like that? Anybody? All right. Now, while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, just a little while ago, I asked how many of you heard that message that the Holy Ghost of God spoke to you about. Hands were raised up all over the room. Now, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask the Lord's blessing on the invitation. I'm sure they're going to play an invitation number for us. And if you raised your hand, would you do yourself a favor? Would you humble yourself? You see, the reason why it's so important to respond in an invitation is because the Bible says, God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And if you'll humble yourself to the prompting and leading of God, he'll give you grace. And we all need it. Father, we come now in the precious name of Jesus, and we ask that you'll give us help from heaven. Thank you, Lord, for this precious invitation to get in the yoke with you. And Lord, thank you for all the hands that were raised a moment ago of how you touched their hearts listening here tonight. And Lord, this invitation is for us. I can't imagine anybody not wanting to respond to getting in the yoke with you. Lord, help me to get in that yoke, stay in that yoke. Help us to be just consumed with it. Your life, your will, the commands of Christ, all of those things, help us, we pray. Bless this invitation. Be honored and pleased at our response. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Have some music plays for us. Come on, friend. God touch your heart. Find a place at this old-fashioned altar tonight. Get in the yoke of Jesus. Getting in the yoke of Jesus could mean to some people that God's calling you to maybe to be able to go to the mission field. Thank you.
the finish is fulfilling. I thought about what the Apostle Paul said at the end of his life. I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid for me a crown of righteousness. And that's true for us too. It's not just for evangelists and missionaries, for all of us as we get in the yoke with the Lord. Thank you very much. Praise the Lord. Again, if you happen to ask one of the missionaries out, would you just let me know? And encourage you to take that opportunity tomorrow night. It's always good. Everybody that does it always said, man, I really enjoyed that. So I encourage you to do that. And just let them know tonight so we can know exactly who's with who. It's good to have Pastor Ron Johnson here. And I've come to know him. And first time I met him was right here at our Bible conference. Brother Ferris preached it a few years back. And this man walked in. Never saw him before in my life. Never heard of Owings Baptist Church. In fact, I remember asking Brother Ferris when he said, mail a letter to this pastor. I said, who is this? What's Owings Baptist Church? Never heard of it. And then it was going down to the radio station. We were making some advertising for Awake 25. Brother Johnson and I rode down together. And he's become a friend to me. He's a good man, loves the Lord, has a good church. In fact, this is where the next prayer meeting is. The last Monday this month, the Revival Pursuit prayer meeting will be at his church at Owings Baptist. So glad you're here tonight. Would you close us in prayer, please?